Today's Bible reading. Bible reading is taken from Book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. Book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. And when you fast, do not gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their face, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
As he does, amplify stuff. Thank you very much, Jason. Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. Fasting. I don't know if you've heard a sermon before on fasting. But actually, fasting is a much more common thing today than it used to be. You hear about sports people fasting as part of the regime in order to improve in their discipline. You hear about a number of diets nowadays. So this is what I've been told anyway. There's a number of diets which involve some sort of intermittent fasting. You know, you eat what you want for 5 days and then 2 days you fast to some degree. There's a number of religions in this country which involve as fasting is part of that religion. And so fasting is much more common today in this country than it was, say, 20 or 30 years ago. But this morning, I want us to think about Christian fasting. What is Christian fasting? In what way is Christian fasting distinct from other types of fasting? Why should Christians fast? And what sort of things should we fast for? So four things I want us to think about this morning. The requirement to fast. The reward for fasting. The resource for fasting. And finally, the reason for fasting. So the requirement to fast, the reward, the resource, and finally, the reason to fast. So first of all, the requirement to fast. At the start of our reading, in verse 16, Jesus said these words, "And when you fast." In other words, Jesus assumes that Christians, his followers, will fast. Fasting will be part and parcel of the Christian life, a bit like prayer. In fact, when you read about fasting in the Bible, it's almost always linked to prayer, like here in Matthew 6. Jesus has been talking about praying, and now he's talking about fasting. The two things are connected. You fast and pray. And they did this in the Old Testament. In fact, in the Old Testament, there was one day a year which was designated the day for prayer and fasting, which was the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And everybody in the nation, everyone in the country of Israel, had to fast. But there were also certain times that were of national tragedy when the people fasted. And there were certain individuals in the Old Testament who spent time fasting for different things. So you've got the Ezra. Twice in the book of Ezra, we're told that Ezra fasted. Once he fasted for protection, because he was going on a dangerous journey. And once he fasted for repentance, because the people had disobeyed God. You read about Daniel fasting for strength, fasting in order to give some intensity to his prayers. And then in the New Testament, in the Gospels, you begin, as you read the Gospels, by hearing about Jesus spending 40 days in the wilderness fasting and praying. And once Jesus was asked why his disciples didn't fast, and his response was, "They will do when I'm no longer with them." In the book of Acts, you hear about Barnabas and Paul, and the early church fasted and prayed before commissioning them as missionaries. And then when they went out in Acts 14, establishing churches, they fasted and prayed to decide who should be the elders of the church. They were fasting and praying for guidance. And fasting and prayer has always been part of the church throughout the history of the world. The church has always spent time fasting and praying. I was reading this week about South Korea, and there's a prayer mountain in South Korea where people would go and fast and pray. In fact, in 1980, one of the Christian leaders called Dr. Kim led a group of people to fast and pray because they were hoping to put on a Christian crusade. And the local authorities weren't very happy about so many people gathering together, so they said, "You can't do it." So they went to Prayer Mountain. They fasted and prayed. 40 days later, they came down and spoke to the police, and the police said, "We've changed our minds." Fasting and prayer has always been part and parcel of the church. So what is it? What is Christian fasting? Well, it's fasting for certain spiritual purposes by abstaining, not always, but often, the consumption of food. So you fast from eating and drinking for certain spiritual purposes. The fasting, what does it do? It adds intensity to our prayers. There's something about fasting where you put to one side eating or drinking or entertainment or doing what you often do in order to give yourself to prayer. And as you feel the hunger, as you feel the longing for these other things, that longing, that hunger is transferred to the prayers. So your praying becomes more intense. This is how one person described it. I think it's a great description of fasting. Fasting must not only be confined to the question of food and drink. Fasting should really be made to include abstinence from anything which is legitimate in and of itself for the sake of some spiritual purpose. Abstinence from anything which is legitimate in and of itself for some spiritual purpose. Now, you shouldn't fast from eating Brussels sprouts if you don't like it. You're fasting from stuff which means something to you. Stuff which you enjoy. Stuff which you rely on for your life. That's why it is often, although not exclusively, food and drink. So that's what fasting is. So why should you fast? Well, you should fast because of for a reward. That's the second thing that Jesus tells us about fasting. He tells us that it's required of his disciples, but that his disciples are rewarded as they do that. In fact, Jesus contrasts here in these verses he contrasts the way the Pharisees fast with the way he wants his disciples to fast. He says this in verse 16. Do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. So how did the Pharisees fast? They fasted because they wanted a reward. What was the reward that they wanted? They wanted people to think that they were super special holy people. They wanted people to approve of them. And what's the reward that they get for their fasting? Because they are rewarded, Jesus says. The reward that they get is that people approve of them. They fast for approval, and they get approval. They fast so that people can think really well of them, that they're some sort of spiritual gurus, and people say, look at those guys. They're amazing. You know, it's possible for Christians to do that. I think the biggest danger in the Christian life is that we do religious activities like fasting, but we do it to look good. You know, I fast once a week, I fast twice a week. Aren't I a super spiritual person? And then you drop it into conversation. You know, well, when I was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights last week, you know, because you want to make yourself seem good. It's the biggest danger in the Christian life. And Jesus says, if you want other people's approval, you will get other people's approval. That is your reward. But Jesus says, that's not the reason to fast. There is a reward that God gives, and it's for his reward that you should fast. So what is his reward? That's what it says. In verse 17, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. I think there's two rewards that God gives in answer to our fasting and prayer. The first reward is this. When you fast, you end up knowing yourself better. Because fasting shows us what controls us, what we rely upon, what makes us tick. In some ways, fasting holds up a mirror to who we are. Let me give you an example. You know, when I'm feeling a bit tired or a bit low, you know, what's the solution? Have a cup of coffee and have a bit of chocolate. And so if I'm fasting from coffee and chocolate, I can't go to those things for pick-me-up. Now, don't we do that generally in life? You know, we're feeling a bit of discomfort, feeling a bit low for whatever reason. And we cover up that feeling of unhappiness with coffee and chocolate, if that's your pick-me-up, or food of another description. Or watching the telly, or browsing the internet, or sex, or gambling. We can turn to any of these things in order to comfort ourselves, to cover up our feeling of feeling down. But when you fast from those things, you can't cover your feeling of unhappiness up. And so it shows your unhappiness. Or your pride, or your lust, or your anger. You know, we've adopted that word in the English language now, haven't we? Hangry. You know, and maybe there's someone in your house, and if they've not had some food, it's gone past dinner time or whatever, you know, this starts getting a bit pent up, and, you know, you're like, okay, everybody leave the room that they're in, because what's the issue? The issue is, you know, they're angry. Because they've not been fed. But actually, If you think about it for a minute, the anger was there already. The food simply covers up how they feel. And that makes you ask the real question, which is, why are you angry? Or why are you unhappy? Is it a strained relationship? Is it a fear of failure? Is it a fear of loneliness? Is it an unfulfilled dream? Is it that you're bored or dissatisfied with life? You see, when you fast, it helps you ask that question of yourself. What is it that's making me tick? What am I actually living for? It helps you see inside yourself in a way which you don't often do. And that makes you then able to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, please, can you help me here? Because I've got an issue which I have been covering up and I need your help to deal with it. Will you get rid of this issue in my life? Please come into my heart by your Spirit and change me from the inside out. See, that's the first reward I think that God gives us in answer to fasting. We end up knowing ourselves better. But the second reward is this. The reason we fast and pray is that God might answer our prayers. And so fasting gives intensity to our prayers so we might more earnestly pray and God might answer our prayers. And we need to be careful here because fasting is not like a vending machine. You know, you go to the vending machine for some chocolate. That's on my mind at the moment as I'm thinking about fasting. You go to the vending machine and you put in your money and out comes the chocolate boy. We're not to think like that when it comes to fasting, that we go to God with fasting. We say, well, I fasted and therefore God will give me what I've asked for straight away. He'll give me the job or the relationship. And fasting is not a means of earning God's grace. We can't go to God and say, look, I've fasted this week, I've fasted that week, I've fasted this week. God, you need to answer my prayer now because I've earned it through my fasting. You know, there is a school of thought that says that you must fast if you want God to bless you. And if you don't fast, he won't. How do you respond to that? By going to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, which says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. You have all the blessings that are possible in Christ now. But fasting is not a means of earning God's grace. Neither is fasting mean that your life's going to go better. You shouldn't think, okay, I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm living as I should, as a Christian, my life's going to go really well. Jesus was the only perfect Christian, as it were. He wasn't a Christian in some sense, but he's the only perfect person who's ever lived. He fasted, he prayed, and how did his life go? He ended up on a cross. So what does fasting actually mean? What is the reward that God gives us for fasting? Well, fasting is like prayer. And so when you pray about something or pray for something, you want God to answer the prayer that you pray. And the same is true with fasting. So when you fast, what is the reward? Well, the reward is that God will answer your prayer. And God will answer your prayer in one of two ways. Either he will give you what you ask for, or he will give you something better. God will give you what you ask for, or he will give you something better. Now that better thing might not be what you actually want in the moment. But if you knew everything that God knew, then you would say, that is better for me. I remember there was a time when I spent quite a bit of time fasting and praying about a certain thing. And I really wanted it. And God said no. He didn't let me have it. And if you'd have, at the time, it did not feel like a good gift from God. But looking back now, I look and I go, I am so pleased that God didn't give me that then. It would have been awful. But at the time, I was like, I can't see a reason why God wouldn't give this. But God is a good God who wants to reward us as we fast and pray. And that brings me on to the third thing, which is, where do you get the resource from to fast and pray? How can you keep fasting and praying, especially when you don't get an immediate answer to the thing that you're fasting and praying for? Well, it's by knowing that who the one is who rewards you. Who is it who rewards you? It's your Father. Your Father who loves you. Your Father who wants what's best for you. You know, God loves us so much that he sent his Son to die upon a cross for us. And when you see that, when you see how much he loves you and how much you mean to him, the fact that you are now his child through faith in Jesus Christ, when you see that, you say, well, my Father wants what's best for me. I'm going to fast and pray because I know he's going to give me good things in answer to my fasting and prayer. He wants good things for me. If he's not going to withhold his Son from me, he's not going to withhold anything that's good. Let's fast. Let's pray, relying upon our Heavenly Father. And so the final thing is this. What should we fast for? What are the reasons to fast? I've been saying all along that fasting and prayer are linked together in the Bible, and they are throughout the Bible. And here in Matthew 6, they are linked together closely. And that means, I think, Jesus wants us to see that whatever you can pray for, you can fast for. The things that you bring to God in prayer are things that you can bring to God in fasting. So what are those things? Well, Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer as a pattern for our prayers. And I think that the Lord's Prayer, therefore, should be a pattern for our fasting. If you want to know what to fast for, take the bits of the Lord's Prayer, the seven parts of the Lord's Prayer, and fast for those things. Let me give you some examples. Our Father in heaven, fast and pray that you might know that you are a child of God. That you might know God's love and grace in your life, and that you might have a comforting trust that the God who rules this universe is out to do you good. Hallowed be your name. Fast and pray that God's name would be honored in your life and honored across the world. Fast and pray that you might be involved in spreading your passion for Jesus Christ in Manchester, the UK, and across the world. Fast and pray that in parts of the world where Christ isn't honored, he would be. In West Africa. In parts of China. Fast and pray that God's name, the name of Jesus Christ, will be honored in those places. Your kingdom come. Fast and pray that you would long for heaven and that heaven will become a reality, that this world will be transformed. Fast and pray that injustice would go. Fast and pray that God will bring in his kingdom here on earth. Your will be done. Is there an area of your life where you feel stuck? An area of sin that you just seem to hit a brick wall when it comes to dealing with, or a relationship that is strained or broken and you'd like it to be mended, or do you need guidance for a particular thing? Well, fast and pray for those things and see God break down walls. See God change your heart for situations that you might easily or more easily be able to say, your will be done in my life. Give us today our daily bread. Fast for your needs. Is there an issue in your life? Is there Is there something that you need in your life, or you think you need? Fast and pray for that thing. Have you got a friend, or is there someone in the community who's struggling? Fast and pray for their needs. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Fast and pray that you would really repent of your sins. You know, sometimes we say the confession every Sunday morning, and I think it's a good thing to do, because it helps to remind us that we are all sinful and we're all in the same boat, and God in Jesus has forgiven us our sins. But there are specific sins in our lives which we can gloss over. And one of the reasons we don't change is because we gloss over those things when we confess them. Well, fast and pray that you would really repent of those things. You would really confess those things. You'd really feel sorry for them. And fast and pray that you can forgive others who sin against you. You know, we all wrong each other all the time. And there are some people who wrong us deeply. Fast and pray that you might be able to let that bitterness go and forgive them. Fast and pray that you would not be led into temptation, but that God would deliver you from evil. That nothing in life would draw you away from God. You know, there's so many things in life that can draw us away from God. There are good things in life that can draw us away from God. You know, when life is going well, one of the things that goes, I find, or that I'm less committed to, is prayer. And when things are going badly, well, we can pray more, but we can still feel more discouraged. Well, fast and pray that good things wouldn't take you away from God, and that discouragements in life wouldn't take you away from God. And fast and pray that God would protect you from evil and from harm, from believing lies in your head, from your heart and your emotions being drawn away from loving God first. Fast and pray that you would not be led into temptation, but that God would deliver you from the evil one. See, there's so many things to fast and pray for. But as you fast and pray, God says that he will work. Later in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened." And fasting is involved in that asking, that seeking and that knocking. So if there is something, so as you fast and pray, God will hear your prayer. And he's a good father, he will reward you. Let me finish with this example of fasting that I came across this week. The guy who fasted was a guy called David Wilkerson. Some of you might have heard of him because he wrote the book The Cross and the Switchblade. Well, he was a Pentecostal minister. And one of the things that he did in an evening is he used to like watching the late night show on telly. He's an American. And the thought came to him as he was watching the telly just to unwind and relax. Why don't you spend these 2 hours praying and instead of watching the telly? Why don't you ditch your telly, fast from the telly, and pray instead? And he came up with loads of reasons why he shouldn't do that. You know, I'm a busy minister. I need to relax. There's lots of emotional pressure on me. There's, you know, people want a bit of me. I just need some me time. But the thought kept coming back to him. So in the morning, he said to his wife, he said, "I'm going to sell our telly. I'm going to put an advert in the paper." This is back when we used to have newspapers. "I'm going to put an advert in the newspaper, and I'm going to sell our telly. In fact, actually, though, I don't know if this word is ultimately from God, and so I'm going to give the paper, the advert, half an hour. So if nobody has contacted us in half an hour, this is obviously me just thinking things up. This is not what God wants. And so we'll leave it." So they put the advert in the paper. And as soon as the paper came out, he and his family sat around the telephone and said, "Okay, we've got half an hour." Time ticked by. After 25 minutes, the phone rang, and he picked it up and he said, right, have you got a telly for sale? I said, yes. He said, how much do you want for it? David said, £100, $100. He said, great, I'll buy it now. And so he ditched his telly. And every evening, from 10 till midnight, he spent 2 hours praying instead of watching the telly. One of the things that happened during that prayer time is God directed him to the plight of teenagers in New York City. And so he started praying about that. And eventually the Lord led him to New York to start a ministry amongst teenagers, which has spread across the world. Now, that's a wonderful story in answer about fasting. You might think that's remarkable. That's happened to somebody else over in America. But what could God do in your life in response to you spending time fasting and praying? Would you join me this week as we fast and pray on Wednesday? And this year, take time on a Wednesday to fast, miss a meal, miss two meals, and spend that time in prayer. And let's see God work in us and work through us this coming year. Let me pray. Gracious Father, you call us to fast and to pray. Help us to do that as your people, not to earn things from you, but that we might know ourselves better, and that you might answer our prayers for ourselves, for our church, for our community, and for the world. Be kind to us, give us your spirit, and enable us to do it. And help us to do it, seeing and knowing your love, and knowing that being with you and knowing you is greater than anything else. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.